Gene Bolduc is with us, the host of the Weekend Water Cooler, and it is time for A Thing, Not a Thing, the game in which Gene and I take a look at all the things that have people upset on social media this week, and we decide, is it a thing, or is it not really that big of a thing?
Is it really not that
is
big of
a
thing?
Is it not a thing?
Oh, my goodness. There are quite a number of things this week. But
then lay it on me, because I am unprepared for this conversation today.
I'm just going to tell you that, I would say that all reports of Elizabeth Warren's demise in this race were premature.
Yes. For sure.
She very successfully and artfully, I would say, just took Mike Bloomberg apart.
Mm-hmm.
But here's an unusual thing about that thing, which is that she just, tore him limb from limb for about an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Every chance she got, standing right next to him, just let him have it, right? During the commercials, during the debate, they did a thing where they show you the commercial, which is the picture and the sound on the left, and then in a smaller box on the right, still got the view.
What's going on during the commercial break? Yeah.
So toward the end of the debate, during one of the last breaks, if this were a fight, they would have stopped it. And they go to the break. And now I got up and literally walked over in front of my TV to squint to see if I was really seeing what I thought I was seeing, which was Elizabeth Warren and Mike Bloomberg obviously engaged in a completely cordial conversation.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. And, it was this, to be a fly on the wall after I've just, torn you apart. So, how's the family? It was just like, what would that be?
I think that's fantastic.
It is.
For two very important reasons. Number one, all of those people on stage are going to have to come together and join forces in order to beat Donald Trump in November.
Exactly right.
And number two, I think, there's so much polarization in the country, and a lot of that polarization is, I disagree with you on this particular issue, and that starts us down the path of, if we disagree on this issue, then we're at odds with each other on other things, and then everything.
Right.
We should be able to compartmentalize. Like, we can knockdown, drag out fights about this issue or that, and, hopefully work to some common ground, but knockdown, drag out fights here, and then pick ourselves back up and help each other get back up and say, okay, but we can work together on this other
thing. Exactly right. She was on television last night and was asked, first question out was, what were you guys talking about? because, $64,000 question.
Right.
And her answer was great. She said that he said to her, where were you born? Where are you from?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought two things. First, seriously, you don't know that?
I don't know that.
Do you really? Okay.
I know that she's a senator from Massachusetts, so I assume Massachusetts, but I don't know, really.
Well,
I
mean, actually, you'd be wrong if you thought that.
I kind of figured, yeah.
And ironically
we're
enough,
Americans, we move all over.
I don't know if you would have guessed that Mike Bloomberg is actually from the Boston area, but he is, and she isn't. She's from Oklahoma.
Okay.
And she said, I told him I'm from Oklahoma, and told him a little bit about my upbringing, and he's only spent $6 million in Oklahoma in his race. Oklahoma is a Super Tuesday state, and it's surprising that he's only spent that amount of money there. And this is what she said. And she's like, she's explaining to him all about how it was growing up in Oklahoma and not having, money and going to a commuter college and her whole biography that if you follow Elizabeth Warren, you could recite in your sleep. And she said, And then she was asked, if he's the nominee, would you support him? She said, of course I would.
Yeah, totally.
I'd fight very hard to get him elected and so on. And then artfully, incredibly, without skipping a beat, he would be a terrible choice for these reasons, and then goes on and stays right on message with her, you know, why it is that we cannot allow the Democratic Party to make such a catastrophic choice.
Right.
I mean, I really have a lot of respect just for the intellectual gymnastics to do what she does.
It's a real skill.
And it really is.
Like, everyone who's up on that stage, like, even Bloomberg on Vegas night, yep, when he's having a really bad day,
right,
which I'm taking your word for it because I didn't actually watch the debate.
But
okay, he had a bad day.
Not every second.
Not every second, right. I last weekend, I had a chance to moderate the Orange County School Board Forum. You were there.
Right.
Really good conversation between the
very
candidates.
Very civil,
who were,
by the way.
Very civil conversation.
Congratulations to everyone on that.
Yes, for sitting there and facing a room full of, how many people were in there? 50?
Gosh, I think 40 or 50, yeah.
It was a full room,
whatever it is, it was about
really cool.
One person less than what the fire marshal would allow.
We'll go with that.
We'll say that.
We'll
wink,
say
wink.
That. And
might
a really good conversation,
yeah.
But then, like, to watch this in person, people who are sitting there at those tables speaking to a room full of 40 or 50 people, and then blowing that up and imagining yourself on national television in a room with 2,000 people speaking to what you know is an audience of 20 million, and not only doing that, but staying on message and doing it without ums or uhs or pauses or unnecessary segues or getting sidetracked because you only have a minute to answer your question. That is a huge
amazing skill. It is amazing that these folks do as well as they do, which is staggering. And I will say one of the picky little moments in there was about Amy Klobuchar not remembering the name of the president of Mexico. And Pete Buttigieg tried to blow that up into something bigger than
and
it was.
And then here comes Warren saying, you know,
saying,
this happens.
Come on, man.
Right.
You know, I mean, and
although Rick Perry's watching on TV going, where were you
you should have helped me out, Liz. Well, you know, and you know this better than I do, that when you talk, when you do that much talking in a live medium, you know, you're going to blank at some point.
Oh, yeah, I mean, of course.
Unless you're just a robot.
Right.
So I thought that was a little bit overcooked on Pete's part. But, but then again, it did kind of seem like maybe Amy just couldn't come up with it, couldn't come up with policy positions at the same time. What I understand about it was, you know, there might have been a little something to nibble on there, but yeah, it's not a good way to try to score points, I think.
Yeah. Other things, non-things?
The other thing that I think is a thing this week for all of us to watch, not that we can do a doggone thing about it, is this thing about Trump firing the Director of National Intelligence, you know, because he committed the unbearable crime of doing his job and briefing the Congress on the fact that Russia is attacking our election.
Again.
I think that the key thing in that whole story is that, as it was reported yesterday in the New York Times and Washington Post, is that embedded throughout the story is that word, again.
Mm-hmm.
And I really do think that that's part of what is getting under Trump's skin, other than the fact that, you know, he's an egregiously corrupt president, and that, you know, that's what the deal is. You know, Walter Dellinger, a retired Duke professor, former Solicitor General, a distinguished scholar, said yesterday that he thinks it's time for people in the Justice Department to be committing some civil disobedience, and I think that's a big deal coming from him. I really do. We're at, in the Justice Department, I think that we are at the point of, in case of fire, break glass, you know, whatever that means for the Justice Department.
Right.
I think we need to see hundreds of people resigning from the Justice Department to drive the point home that the level of corruption is too severe for the department to survive under its current leadership. I think Barr has got to be pressured to get out.
This is, I mean, it's easy to say, right? And then you have to actually do it if it's
your
job that you've worked your entire career.
Yeah, right.
But yeah,
I think that that's the only thing that might really ring a bell. They can impeach Barr. The Congress can impeach him and the Senate could remove him and pigs could fly on the same day. I don't think that that's going to happen, but I think it could create a tremendous amount of pressure and it can inform the electorate about the level of corruption that's going on.
And like coming from within the Justice Department would,
exactly,
I think, be more meaningful.
Yeah. I mean, Trump is reaching into the Stone case to try to influence it, mm-hmm. and Barr is helping him do that. And, you know, I think that's a huge problem, but doing that in the national intelligence arena is an even bigger problem on a scale of elephant-sized problems.
Who's on the water cooler this weekend?
Your friend and mine, the wonderful, the one and only Tom Jensen, who talked me in from the ledge, as he explained to me how it is that he was able to predict that Trump was viable as a candidate and could win the general election in 2016. And he explains how he knew that and how that applies to this election. And he says very important things about what we understand about the electorate, mm-hmm. not so much about the candidates, but about the electorate, which is the thing to watch.
I do. I'm very selective, and you have to be, because if, you know, I'm on the air 4 hours a day,
right.
which is a long time, 20
yeah.
hours a week, but it's still only 20 hours, and there's
right.
150,000 people in Orange County. You can only have a few on the air at any given time. I really try to reach out and bring in the people, and
right.
I count you among this,
right.
who can lend some perspective and some insight
right.
and some
right.
knowledge that maybe we may not think of. Even if we intuitively know it, we don't necessarily think of it and
right.
say, okay, most of the things that you hear on social media, most of the things that people are saying, most of the things that we ourselves might think if we're watching something and we just have a gut reaction, they're not necessarily true. They're not necessarily...
That's exactly,
yeah.
by the way, what the briefing was that McGuire, is it McGuire, got fired for.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, yeah, the Russians are really at it. It's disinformation. It's going to be a lot of very deceptive deep fake videos, really bad stuff that
mm-hmm.
people are not easily going to be able to distinguish
mm-hmm.
as that might be fake. And so, you know, that is very penetrating stuff. That gets into our culture like a virus. It's
yeah.
really bad. And it's been ongoing. I mean, they've been saying this all along.
Tune into the Weekend Water Cooler, Gene Bolduc and Tom Jensen this weekend, Saturday and Sunday at 9 a.m., Sunday at 1 and 8. Get the full archive online at weekendwatercooler.com. Gene Bolduc, thank you so much.
And wherever you get your podcasts.
And wherever you get your podcast.